Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, the 15th chapter, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, then the book of Ezekiel, and in your Schofield Bible, page 854, Ezekiel, the 15th chapter, and we'll be reading all eight verses, the text versus the second verse, and you'll take note of that, please. We'll read the verses responsively, and may we stand, please, all of us standing as we always do. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work, or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devoureth both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meat for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less shall it be meat yet for any work, when the fire hath devoured it, and it is burned? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, As the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I set my face against them. And I will make the land desolate, because they have committed a trespass, saith the Lord God. And may we pray. Lord, thank you that you've prepared something for us tonight. Thank you for all the work that's gone into a service like this. And thank you for those who've labored. And now help us as we sit here, benefactors of that which has been prepared. Help us to receive with gratitude that which you have. And may we learn and benefit and reap from that where others have sown. In Jesus' name, amen.
Israel is likened to the vine of the Lord in the Bible. And Israel took that as significant of the fact that God thought she was better than somebody else. And just because the grace of God gave Israel some special privileges did not make Israel better than anybody else, nor was it because Israel was better than anybody else. And God comes along and says, Israel, okay, so you're a vine tree in the Bible. He asked the question, what is a vine tree more than any tree? What's a vine tree more than any tree? I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, the sin of pride. Our Heavenly Father, bless this brief Sunday night message to our hearts and to thy glory, to our humiliation, to thy praise, to our crucifying of self, to our crowning of thee. Exalt thyself above us and humble us before thee. Amen. As I stand here tonight, I'm, the Bible says, a vapor, like a vapor. It comes for a while, and then it vanishes away. Like a signpost or a sign beside the highway, you come to it, you get closer, and then you're by it. I stand tonight, a little piece of flesh, worth probably a couple of dollars as far as the chemical contents of this body is concerned. We all be reminded periodically that there's nothing good about us. I want to say this, folks. It's not as easy for an old church to be spiritual as it is for a young church. I was watching the deacons a while ago, and as they were serving the elements of the Lord's Supper. And I was thinking about what they used to be and what they are now. Used to, some of those men were just students or even children. And now, as a cross-section of this church, some of those men are very successful, as is the case in the entire church family. Some are businessmen. Some are executives. Some are doctors. Some are accountants. Hasn't always been that way. I was pastor here when those doctors were students. I was pastor here when some of those accountants were teenagers. It's not easy for us as we become more fluent and a little bit more educated, as the world counts education, and older. It's not easy for us to stay spiritual and stay humble. And every once in a while, as pastor of this church, and I want you to look at me now, every once in a while, as pastor of this church, I need just to get a big stick, knock us all down to size, and make us realize that the best of us is the worst of us. And the servant is greatest of all. And he that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall someday be exalted. There's no sin in all the world that will destroy you as surely and as quickly as pride. There's no sin that links itself to success like pride. There's no sin that God hates any more than God hates pride. I'm proud of what I've done. I'm proud of what I am. I'm proud of what I have. I want to serve notice to you, ladies and gentlemen. Anything you've done is because of the goodness and grace of Almighty God. Anything you have is because of the goodness and grace of Almighty God. Anything you've accomplished, anything you are or have become, is because of the goodness and the grace of Almighty God. My mother used to say to me, beneath the kerosene lamp and the heat of the wood stove in our little shack of a house, "Son, look everybody straight in the eye. We're poor, but nobody is better than we are. But if we ever arise from this little house and this wood stove and these kerosene lamps and the outhouse in the backyard and our poverty, and if we ever rise above it, you will not be any better than anybody else. Look everybody straight in the eye." That's what the Bible says. It says blessed, or means when it says blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It means blessed are the equal ones. May I say this, folks? You're no better than anybody else because you have nicer cloth on you tonight than somebody else has. Folly of follies, foolishness of foolishness. For somebody, because you have a higher quality of cloth, I mean, there's still the same sinful heart behind that cloth. Doesn't matter what you're dressed in tonight. And for somebody to look down at somebody else, or even to look to themselves as being of superior quality because you have different cloth covering your body, is absolute folly, and it's ridiculous. You know better than anybody else because you go home to a nicer hunk of wood and brick tonight. You know better than anybody else because you live in a house that costs a little more. Other folks could if they are fool enough like you are to make the high payment. Now, you know better. You have no right to look down on anybody whose face might not be as pleasant to look at as others. You didn't make your face. In some cases, you ladies did. But the one that's under the one you made, you didn't make that. No, it's folly. It's sin. It's wickedness. It's vile for one creature to think he is higher than any other creature, and for one human being to think of himself as being above any other human being. There's no sin quite as vile and filthy in the sight of Almighty God
than for somebody to think he's better than somebody else. Why is it such a great sin? It's a sin, great sin, because it dethrones God. It takes the crown off his head and puts it on yours. It takes the scepter out of his hand and puts it in yours. It takes the throne from him and puts you on it. Pride is spiritual treason that overthrows the King of Kings. Pride is a wicked coup that robs the scepter from the hands of the king. Hence, when you are proud, we're proud, we become, the person who's proud becomes his own God. And to whatever degree tonight you're proud of yourself, you are just exactly that much of an idolater. For you're taking God that much off his throne and putting yourself that much on his throne, and you are guilty of self-worship, which is just as vile and more so than the heathen who makes himself a god of wood or a god of stone and bows down before that god of wood, or takes a little baby and throws that baby into the lap of the heathen god of Moloch, whose lap is burning with fire and whose fire laps up that little baby's life. You're more heathen. Nobody ought to exalt himself. There's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord's laid on him the iniquity of us all. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let that one deny who thinks of himself as being somebody throw himself at the mercy of God and seek God's forgiveness for your idolatry of placing yourself. Oh, you say, well, how? Boy, I tell you what, I thank God for this amazing physique I have. Oh, fooey on that. Oh, I thank God for this beautiful face I have. But for the grace of God, you'd be the ugliest puss on the face of this earth. You didn't make your face. You didn't carve that physique out of stone. You didn't decide to give yourself that brain. You didn't give yourself that body. Everything you've done, everything you have, everything you are, everything you accomplish is by the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. There are no such thing as a blue blood in the sight of God. Pride is a maggot that lies under every stone of success. Pride is the barrier after the race is won, which causes one to stumble on the way to the presentation ceremonies. Years ago, I was watching a football game. God's team was playing. He was watching through that hole in the roof. They threw a pass to Drew Pearson, fellow on the Dallas Cowboys, who's caught more passes than anybody that's ever played with the Dallas Cowboys. He caught that pass, a very important game. And he made the touchdown in the end zone and then decided while he's up in the air to spike the ball. And he twisted in the air, came down on his ankle, and missed two games. That's what pride is. Pride is the barrier, not during the race as much as after the race, when you've won the race and then on the way to the award stand to get your medal, you stumble and fall over pride because you think you're somebody. Pride is the embryo of a critical nature. The reason you're critical is because you're proud. You criticize somebody else, you think you're something. You criticize somebody, you find something that you don't have that they do have, a negative quality you think you don't possess. And there's no sin in the world any greater than pride, and as it's manifested in being critical. You have no right to criticize anybody else. You have no right to talk ill about anybody else. What you're trying to do is you're trying to make yourself 6 inches taller by cutting 6 inches off somebody else, but you can cut all the inches you want to off somebody else, and you're not 1 inch taller. The truth is, you shrink as they shrink. Pride is a premature judgment seat where you steal rewards reserved for heaven that lose their everlastingness on the journey to earth. Pride is the president of hell. Pride is the hammer exalting itself over the builder. Pride is the trowel exalting itself over the mason. Pride is the needle exalting itself over the seamstress. Pride is the scalpel exalting itself over the surgeon. Pride is the five iron exalting itself over the golfer. Pride is the bat that exalts itself over the ball player. Pride is the vessel that exalts itself over the potter. Pride is the stove that exalts itself over the shell. Pride expelled Lucifer from heaven, and the first sin that the world, that the universe ever saw was in heaven. Lucifer, who was the right-hand man of God as an angel, he was one of the three archangels and was the highest of the three archangels. He said, I will exalt myself above God. I will take over. I become like the Most High. And because of his pride, God divided the angelic creatures and cast a third of them out of heaven. Lucifer jumped all the way from second in command to being the devil himself, and God broke up heaven because of pride. And brother, if God will break up heaven because of pride, God will then sure break up a church on earth because of pride. Pride caused the fall of one third of heaven's angels. Pride tripped Adam and caused the entire human race to fall. The wind howls in wintertime because of pride. The serpent crawls on his belly and has as his venue the dust of the earth because of pride. Thorns make uncomfortable the touch of the rose stem because of pride. The animal in the forest is ferocious because of pride. The venom of the serpent, the deadly serpent, came because of pride. The hospitals are in America tonight, dotting all of our cities, are caused by pride. The funeral homes are caused by pride. And the cemeteries would not be there had there not been pride. When the woman saw that it would make one wise, she partook it, and the devil said, if you eat this, you can be as gods, deciding good and evil. And Eve said, I'd like to be as gods. And Adam said, I'd like to be as a god. And when you say, I, me, my, we, ours, us, you're in trouble. And the whole fall of the human race, every time a woman gives birth to a baby in pain and travail, it's because of pride. Pride caused the race to fall. Pride dots the horizon with tombstone. Pride causes cancer. Pride is the origin of tuberculosis. Pride is what caused pneumonia. Every germ that enters your body is caused because one time man was proud. And because man was proud, then we chose to be proud. And there's nothing in the world. And listen. We categorize sin. We pick our sins we think are bad. But there's not a sin in the Bible that God... Listen. To God, pride is worse than drinking. To God, pride is worse than immorality. To God, pride is worse than cursing. Why? Because pride exalts yourself above God Almighty and lifts yourself to sit on His throne. Pride toppled Saul from his throne. Pride did to Job what death could not do. Death could not defeat Job, but pride did. His children dying and being buried could not defeat Job, but pride did. Losing his riches did not defeat Job, but pride did. Losing his wife's loyalty did not defeat Job, but pride did. Losing his health did not defeat Job, but pride did. Losing his house did not defeat Job, but pride did. Losing his money did not defeat Job, but pride did. Losing his friends did not defeat Job, but pride did. When you get the place you're proud of what you've done, or you're proud of what you have, or you're proud of what you are, you're on your way down, because my Bible says pride cometh before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. Pride was the door to hell for the praying Pharisee. Pride built the gallows for Haman. 1 Peter 5:5 says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Proverbs 15:25 says, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. In Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low. James Kelly said, pride and grace never dwelt in one place. Benjamin Whichcote said, a proud man hath no God. Coleridge said, the devil did grin, for his darling sin is pride that apes humanity. Edwin Chapin said, pride is the master sin of the devil. And Charles Colton said, there's nothing that angels behold with such supreme astonishment as a proud man. Oh, proud soul, consider what you used to be. Oh, proud soul, consider what you might have been. And oh, proud soul, consider what you might yet be. The loftiest person in this house tonight deserves no praise for his lofty position. The wisest person in this house tonight deserves no praise for his wisdom. The prettiest person in this house tonight deserves no praise for his beauty. The strongest person in this house tonight deserves no praise for his strength. To God be the glory. That's it. That's it. Nobody has a right to step in front of God and say, applaud me. Nobody has a right to say, look at me. No, sir. You just say, look on past me. If you differ, if you differ from others, 'tis because of grace. If you have risen above others, 'tis because of grace. If you have achieved above others, because of grace. If you stand above others, it's because of grace. If you are fair above others, it's because of grace. If you've earned more than others, it's because of grace. If you are righteous above others, it's because of grace. If you have won over others, it's because of a grace. The only thing you have to call your own is sin and misery. You would yet be in your sin if grace had not laid hold on you. Now look at me, folks. There's no place quite as easy to entertain pride as the biggest church in the country. And there's no place quite as easy to entertain pride as a college or university. There's something about a little piece of paper on a wall that does something to us that makes most of us not even deserve that piece of paper on the wall. The smallest bus kid that walks in this room tonight is as good as Jack Hiles is. And the poorest person that hitchhiked to church tonight from the ghetto is as good as Jack Hiles is. And I don't stand tonight as just an example of Christianity or example of manhood. I stand tonight as a sinner saved by the grace of God, called of God to stand here and say, there's none good. No, not one. There's none better than the rest of us. All you have is borrowed. You're simply a pensioner dependent on the bounty of grace. We're not worthy, not a one of us, to be called his children. All you have is by the grace of God. All you've done is by the grace of God. All you are is by the grace of God. All you possess is by the grace of God. All you accomplish is by the grace of God. All you win is by the grace of God. Hey, you people in college, come down, come down. You deserve to go to hell like everybody else did. Hey, you PhDs, that means postal there. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Hey, you folks that have your master, come on down. Come on down. He must increase, but I must decrease. I'm not the pastor of America's largest church. I'm a poor little insecure Texas boy. I think one of the greatest statements I've read recently was one I told you that our daughter Becky wrote. Becky's 31 years of age, preacher's wife, church organist. On my birthday, Becky sent me a card, and she said, by the way, when Becky was a little girl, she had golden hair, as gold, as yellow as any yellow. I've never seen such bright hair and ringlets. She wrote me this little note on the birthday card. She said, Dad, she said, somewhere down inside this 31-year-old body is a little golden-haired girl that loves her daddy very much. And somewhere down inside this 57-year-old body is still a little poor Texas boy living in the ghetto
with a drunkard dad and a poor mother and insecure somewhere inside the pastor of the largest church in this nation. There still remains that little boy that used to, when he was 11 years old, used to start having a crying spell in church for no reason at all. The pastor would have to stop the sermon and say, "Mrs. Hiles, would you take Jackie boy out?" Somewhere inside the pastor of the largest church in America, there still dwells that little insecure boy. I stand behind this pulpit tonight because of the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. I preach up and down this country and have almost 41,000 sermons in the past. I preach them because of the mercy and the goodness of God. And somewhere inside this 57-year-old body tonight, there's still that little preacher that stood the first time and stuttered and stammered for 3 minutes and sat down and wept and said, "I thought I could preach, but I can't." Every one of us that's accomplished one mite of success ought to raise our hands toward heaven and say, "Glory be to the God of heaven. How good He's been to me. If it weren't for the grace of God, I could be walking down Skid Row tonight. My daddy did. All I'd have had to done is follow my daddy instead of my mama. But for the goodness of God tonight, I could be walking down Skid Row looking for a bottle of little boosted whiskey left in a bottle. But for the grace of God, my place of dwelling tonight could be a flop house. For the grace of God, I could be in an alcoholic rehabilitation center. But for the goodness and grace of God, I could be one of these people on dope trying to get dried out. Hallelujah! Thank God for His grace and His mercy and His goodness." I'm not the chancellor of Hiles Anderson College. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm not the author of 33 books. I'm the author of 33 million mistakes in life. I'm not Dr. Jack Hiles. I'm redeemed Jack Hiles. I'm not Jack Hiles deserving of honor. I'm Jack Hiles deserving of hell. I'm not Reverend Jack Hiles. I'm unworthy Jack Hiles. I'm but dust. I'm but clay. I'm but flesh. My righteousness is like filthy rags. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I, like sheep, have gone astray. I've turned to my own way. And thank God, He laid on Him the iniquity of this preacher. I deserve burning hell forever. I'm only righteous in Him. All I have is because of Him. All I am is because of Him. All I've done is because of Him. He must increase, and I must decrease. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. O wretched man that I am, I'm the chief of sinners. I don't deserve to even look into heaven. I don't deserve to get one glimpse of His face. It's all because of amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I guess one of the most difficult things for me to face, and I appreciate people who love and respect me, but I guess one of the most difficult things for me to face is people being afraid of me and people being maybe a little nervous in my presence. I haven't gotten used to yet. I don't like it. I don't like a lot of public attention. I don't like public applause much. I don't like a lot of public praise. I don't like gifts being made in public. I don't like that. Every time I walk in a place and they applaud, I want to say, "Hold it, hold it. Let's applaud Him." Somewhere inside this 57-year-old body tonight, there's that little Jackie boy that was 92 pounds when he was 17 years old. Somewhere inside this 57-year-old body tonight, there's a little boy that never saw an indoor toilet inside a house until he was nearly 14 years old. Somewhere inside this 57-year-old body tonight, there's a little boy that was, for years, never owned a pair of shoes that was on. Somewhere inside this little 57-year-old body tonight, there's a little boy that got his first Christmas present, six Christmas when he was 6 years old. Somewhere inside this 50, 7-year-old buddy tonight is a little boy that got his first birthday present when he was 5 years old. It was a five little pieces of candy. I'm sorry, you black folks, but they called them chocolate soldiers. Somewhere inside this 57-year-old body tonight is a son whose daddy could hardly read and whose daddy was a bartender. I'm saying tonight, I have nothing to brag about. Bow down, thou proud face. You're an insult to grace.
Bow down, thou proud heart.
Thou art the greatest of idolaters.
Bow down, thou proud rich.
Thou art the poorest of them all.
Bow down, thou proud scholar.
Thou art the most ignorant of them all.
Bow down, thou wise soul.
Thou art the most foolish of them all.
Bow down, thou proud strong.
Thou art the weakest of them all.
Bow down, thou famous proud. Thou art the least known in glory. Bow down, thou honored proud.
Thou shalt be servant of all. Bow down, thy high one. Thou shalt fall before them all. I'll say this and I'll close the message tonight. Tonight in the hospital, I feel like I've lost a great something in the last week or so. About 15 years ago or so, I got a letter from an elderly lady. And she said, "Dear Brother Hiles, my husband was a pastor for years. I've been a preacher's wife." She said, "My husband died recently." She said, I love your ministry, have confidence in you. I'd like to move to Hammond. If you'd just give me a little place to sleep and a little closet to pray in, I'd like to spend the rest of my life praying for you." She came to Hammond. We met in an apartment back over here in the back of the church. A little place to pray, a little place for her to live. She gets a little pension, Mrs. Bartels, all these years. I think it's $122.13. That's her income, $122.13 a month. Every month, they're stuck under my door, an envelope. And it says on the outside, same thing every month for 15 years. "For some deserving Hiles Anderson college student." That's what she always says. And there's $122.13 every dime she gets inside that envelope. For these 15 years, I've given her my schedule. And every time I preach, she falls on her face in this apartment back here and prays for me. For 15 years, I've not preached a sermon without that dear prayer warrior praying for me while I preach. I came in last Wednesday and found out she had a stroke. Tomorrow night I'll preach in Wisconsin. And I'll walk in the pulpit for the first time in 15 years. In a sense, without that little prayer warrior on her face over here. What a strength it's been. What an encouragement it's been through all these years. Know that every time I preach a word, and the time I start preaching, she knows where I'm preaching, what night I'm preaching, what time of the night, what day, what time of the day. She knows I preach anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes usually on the road. She stays on her face and has for 15 years. Unseen, unnoticed. Got back in last Wednesday and found she had a stroke. Tonight she's in the hospital. The apartment's empty. I'm not sure how much you'll be able to be cognizant, but for tomorrow night when I preach in Wisconsin, it'll be the first night in 15 years I preach without that little lady on her face praying for God to bless this preacher. Pastor school came last year. I wanted to introduce her to America. And went to her. We asked her, "Mrs. Bartels, we'd like to introduce you to the pastors." And she said, "Pastor, I'll do what you say." By the way, every ounce a woman. She has no husband. But any decision she's made in all these years, she always comes to me and says, "Pastor, I'll do what you say. I'll be obedient. I'll be submissive. I'll do what you say." She said, "Pastor, if you say come to pastor school, I will." But she said, "Don't make me come." She said, "I promised God to fast and pray the whole week in my apartment. Don't make me come. And all the time we were having pastor school, about 150 feet right over here in the back of this educational building, on her face was my little prayer warrior. She's been sitting back there all these years. She's not there tonight. Whether or not she'll ever come back to sit there, I do not know. But there's one thing I do know. I know when the Lord Jesus comes in the clouds of glory, and the dead in Christ have raved and raised to meet Him in the air, and we who are alive and remain shall be called up to meet our Lord in the air. I know at the judgment seat, I know the Lord Jesus is going to say, "Hiles, you step back now. You step back." It's time to honor those who've never been honored. It's time to place in big lights those whose names had never been in big lights. It's time to honor the humble. Step aside, big shot. Step aside, proud one. Step aside, one proud of your voice. Step aside, one proud of your face. Step aside, one proud of your physique. Hey, it's time to honor the people now who've been investing in honor. And one day, you wait. You just wait. We're going to step back. We're going to see those great saints of God who never thought of themselves as being big. I know some of you can't dress like others can. Some of you are not as talented as others are. But I want to tell you something. Equalizing day is going to come. It's going to come. Yeah. He must increase. I must decrease. Every one of us ought to go somewhere tonight before we go to bed and wallow in the ashes of repentance and say, "Oh my God, for ever thinking I was anything, forgive me. Oh my God, for thinking I've ever done anything, forgive me. Oh my God, for thinking I have ever been anything, or accomplished anything, or have anything, forgive me. Thou alone art worthy to receive power and glory and honor and majesty, world without end." All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown Him as Lord of all. Our Father, we didn't mean to, we just forgot. Somebody bragged on us one time and we stumbled.